few weeks ago, early in the morning, someone knocked at our door on our day off, so we were sleeping, and as I stumbled downstairs, I was surprised to find that our five-year-old Flynn had managed to unlock my door of my study and allow the person to come in. To my further surprise, I had no idea who she was. She walked into our house, apologising for being late, looking very busy, and at that stage I asked her who she might be and what perhaps she thinks she might be doing in our house. She was in fact a nurse doing a home visit, but I got the wrong street, but the right number. I was quite uncomfortable from that experience, which is why we deadlock our doors at night, just to make sure our kids can't get out as well as letting people in. But I imagine most of us would be uncomfortable if a stranger walked into our house. Would that be right? Yet as Christians, we have invited the Holy Spirit into our lives. But I think to some extent, he might be a stranger. We understand that it's okay to let him into our lives, but perhaps we don't know him well. And I think that's a problem for Christians, a common problem. So today I want us to be able to walk away understanding these three questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? And why does he do it? Now you might have a fair idea of that. I don't know. I'm suspecting though that many of us need to be reminded of it because we often don't talk that much about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start with John chapter 15. We're going to stay in John. John chapter 15 verse 26. We're going to start with these words from Jesus. He says to his disciples as he's preparing to go to die, when the counselor comes — the counselor is another name that he gives the Holy Spirit, or a paraclete or a comforter — whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit a lot in this chapter. One thing you might notice is the Holy Spirit, if I can just underline two of those phrases there, the Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus. He says, I will send. And the Holy Spirit comes from God. You notice that phrase, from the Father, actually appears twice. The Holy Spirit proceeds or comes from the Father and the Son. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons in one, one person in three. It's quite difficult to understand that idea because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. It's an understanding we have from what the Bible teaches us. So let me give you this example, which may sound silly on the surface, but I think it's actually very helpful if it works. A pretzel. Three parts, all distinct but united, and most importantly, of the same substance, of the same stuff, all part of one pretzel. Three loops. I think that's a helpful way to understand the way the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are as one, yet are three distinct. Most importantly, though, what we see from that verse, when we see that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, is that not only is there three in one, but there is an order between them. One proceeds from the other, but it doesn't mean one is more important than the other. It's not an order of importance. Just like in marriage, there is an order, but there's not an order where one person is more important than the other. It is an order of revelation when we talk about the three in one. See, throughout human history, God has revealed himself to us firstly as the Father, then as the Son who proceeds from the Father, and today as the Spirit who proceeds from the Son. So who is the Holy Spirit? Well, firstly, he is a he, not an it. Often we talk about it, the Holy Spirit. That's not true at all. Second, the Holy Spirit is God who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and he is God with us. And thirdly, now let's ask the question, what does he do? What does he do? I know this is brief, and I'd love to talk to you more about things if there are any questions, so please think about those and feel free to ask me. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, some say the Holy Spirit is like a baby monitor. You know what a baby monitor is? Yeah, something like that? No, I found that. I was looking up baby monitor on the internet and I thought, that's a baby monitor. It's not. A baby monitor is a device where you can put half of it in. That's actually a camera one. You see this one on the right? It's got a camera on it. And you stick that in the kid's room and you walk away with the other one and it'll show you and you can see and hear your baby from a distance, whether you're out at the line or wherever you are. It's a way to babysit while you're not in the room. And I think some people think of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as being like a baby monitor, someone to keep an eye on us when God is not in the room. Of course, that's not true, is it? Because the Holy Spirit is God. See, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in our room all the time, that he never leaves us. That's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't relay messages to God. He is God. He is God with us today. I want you to think about the different ways that God has revealed himself in history and the way God has been with us throughout history. Of course, in the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. But when that changed, God worked in many different ways. Firstly, in the Old Testament, God was present with his people in the temple. Before they settled in the land, he was present in the Ark of the Covenant. But he was in a fire at night, in a cloud by day when they travelled. But in the settlement of God's people, God was with them in the temple. He said he would reside, he would be in the temple, and only the high priest could enter the holy of holy places to communicate with God. So God spoke in a particular place through priests and prophets and met with people like Moses. But he was in the temple. In the New Testament, God came to us in human form as Jesus. So Jesus' body became the temple of God. So God was still in the temple, it's just the temple was now human. So God's presence was still localized. It was local in Jesus, but it was mobile. He walked around, talking, healing people. Where Jesus was, God was. God met us face to face as humans through Jesus, and he related to people as a person, not as something that couldn't be seen. Now, with Jesus ascended into heaven, God has come to us personally through the Holy Spirit, and now we are the temple of God. How does that happen? Well, God's presence was in the temple, then God's presence was in Jesus and he was the temple. Now God's presence is in us and we are the temple of God. This is why Paul talks about us as being the temple of God. God's presence is not only localized in us, it's also mobile, but it's in every single Christian. Every single person who follows God has the presence of God, is part of the temple of God on this earth. So God was always there as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The Son was with him in the beginning, before creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. God was always there in three persons, but he's revealed himself in human history throughout our history. He's revealed himself as the Father, as the Son, and now today, personally, as the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to, in your Bibles, if you've got it open there, turn back just one page, one chapter, to John 14. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 20. We're going to talk about how is it that the Holy Spirit lives in us. And John 14, 16 to 20, let me just show you a few highlights of that verse, those verses. Jesus says to his disciples, "I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor." As in Jesus was a counselor, how he'll give you another counselor, the Spirit, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. "But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." In verse 20, "On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." See, God is now able to not only be with each of us, but in each of us, and enable us to be in him. We are part of the pretzel. we are part of the communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's pretty extraordinary, isn't it? The Spirit lives in us so we can live in God. Isn't that amazing news? And there it is in blue and white. There is Jesus saying, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, you'll understand. I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. We often forget that part, don't we? We know God lives in us. We live in him as well. It's a communion that we cannot appreciate deeply enough. And here's a good example of that. I brought my... I want you to imagine this is filled with water, because that's what I meant to do. I got a sponge and I got a big bucket of water, which I couldn't lift if it was full of water. Now, they are completely different, aren't they? There's the water, using your imagination, and here's the sponge. They're completely separate. What happens when you plunge the sponge into the water? Is the water in the sponge, or is the sponge in the water? It's both, isn't it? See, it is actually quite simple to understand. We are in the Father and he is in us. Just like sponge is in the water is in the sponge. Through the Spirit, we have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's recap. A little recap screen. Hopefully it'll work. You can't decide just not to work in the middle of it. That's so strange. Well, let me recap. The Holy Spirit is God. He comes from the Father and the Son to live in us, and so we can live in him. Now the big question is why? I don't know why this is not working, talking about why. Oh, well, I'm sure you can do without it, can't you? Why does he live in us? Why does he live in us? Well, we've had examples so far of pretzels, baby monitors, now another one, spotlights. There's one right up there shining down here. What is the point of spotlights? They're all around our church. We've got one on the ramp. We've got one out the side here. We've got one on the front door. One shines on the path. Another shines on the wall. I've got one in my backyard that shines down the path. I've got one up here that shines on the stage. What is the point of the spotlight? It's to light up something, isn't it? When the spotlight's turned on, do you look at the spotlight? You look at where? You look where it shines, don't you? Yeah. You look at what it illuminates. The Holy Spirit is the spotlight for Jesus and his work. The Holy Spirit, of course, any analogy will fall down at some stage, but let's stay with that one. The Holy Spirit's work, like a spotlight, is to illuminate. The Holy Spirit's work is to shine the light on Jesus and what he has done. So in John 15, verse 26, please have a look at it in your Bibles. John 15, 26, Jesus says, there it is, it's working again. Jesus says, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, that last part of that verse, he will testify about me, Jesus says. The Spirit's work is to testify about Jesus and the work he's done. Much like in verse chapter 16, verse 8, which we also read in the reading, Jesus says, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And again in verses 13 to 14, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's a great verse. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So the Holy Spirit's work is to reveal truth about Jesus, to illuminate Jesus, to shine a light on the work of the cross, to reveal the truth that Jesus, in that first verse, that Jesus died for our sin, he died to make us righteous, and to save us from the judgment of God. The Spirit's work is to take the work of Jesus and make it known to us, to shine a light on us and thereby bringing glory to Jesus. Just like when you see, there's a lot of cathedrals in our city at night time. They're beautifully lit up. The idea of the spotlight, when it lights up that building, it draws attention to the building and to the architect and to the builder. The Spirit's work is to illuminate Jesus and glorify him. Now, unto this point, we've been looking at, we've been talking about who the Spirit is, that he's God. We've talked about what he does, that he lives in us. We've talked about why he does it. He lives in us to glorify Jesus, to illuminate Jesus. But what does it say about us? What can we do with this information? We could end now and say, well, we've learnt something about the Holy Spirit. But unless we are actually going to do something with that information, it's fairly pointless. It's just up in their head. So let me suggest, firstly, two unhelpful ways to respond to the Holy Spirit. Two unhelpful ways. The first is this: ignore him. Ignore the Holy Spirit. We can focus, some people say there are Christians who focus on God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible, and forget the Spirit completely. We can have head knowledge and nothing else. The other unhelpful way is to talk about the Spirit all the time. In fact, we can have our understanding of the Spirit completely driven by our experience in life. For example, healing, speaking in tongues, all of that, our knowledge of the Spirit comes through our experience. We could even say things like, some people have said many times, if you can't speak in tongues, then you must not have the Holy Spirit living in you. You might have heard that before. Neither of these ways of thinking are healthy or biblical. We can't ignore the Spirit, but we also can't obsess about the Spirit and add to what the Bible says. We can't make things up like you must speak in tongues if you have the Spirit. We can't make those sort of things up. So what does the Bible say? John chapter 14, verse 23. Have a look at this verse. If anyone loves me, Jesus said, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. If people ever ask you how you know that God's Spirit's living in you, there is the verse. God's Spirit lives in those who speak tongues. Is that right? No. God's Spirit lives in those who love and follow Jesus, and let no one tell you anything differently. God's Spirit lives in those who love and follow Jesus. And we can't ignore the fact that his Spirit lives in us, but we can't also obsess about things like spiritual gifts. I don't know if you've come across this, but there is a phenomenon among some Christians where they can't stop talking about spiritual gifts, like tongues or prophecy. The most important gift of the Spirit that every Christian must have is the fact that he comes and lives in us. The biggest gift of the Spirit is that he lives in us. That is the unmistakable gift of a Christian. In fact, I actually want to say there is a good reason, a biblical reason, why we don't need to talk a huge amount about the Spirit. It's good to talk about the Spirit and to understand who he is and what he does, but I want to actually suggest that if we're talking about the Spirit all the time, there is a problem. Because everything the Spirit does points to Jesus. The Spirit's work is to illuminate Jesus. Whenever we see the Spirit doing work, he is there to shine the light on Jesus. So who do you think our attention should be spun to more? The Spirit or Jesus? Jesus is the focus. Remember that verse, John 16:14. You go back. I haven't got there. John 16:14. Jesus says, "He will bring glory to me." The Holy Spirit illuminates Jesus. In fact, the whole Bible points to Jesus. Every prophet, priest, and king of God points to Jesus. And our lives should point to Jesus. Our lives should illuminate the work of Jesus. Everything we do should not bring attention to ourselves, but bring attention to the Lord Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is working in us to do that. If we focus on the Holy Spirit, well, that's the Holy Spirit focusing on the Holy Spirit, because he lives in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. We will do the work of the Holy Spirit with him. And that is to focus on Jesus and his work. That's why we talk so much about Jesus. And hopefully in the last 2 minutes I've said the name Jesus more than the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that our focus is on. You know, just 2 weeks ago, four of our confirmees stood right up here and testified to their faith in Jesus. That is the work of the Spirit. That is a great gift of the Spirit, that he lives in them. They stood up here and testified to the congregation that they were believers and followers of the Lord Jesus. That is the work of the Spirit, testifying to Jesus. Being Spirit-filled is about illuminating Jesus, testifying to him. So if we heal, it should point to Jesus. If we speak in tongues, it should point to Jesus. If we preach, if we minister to the sick or exercise hospitality, whatever our gifts of the Spirit are, they should point to Jesus. Because spiritual gifts are about Jesus and not about us. So here's the question to finish with. Are you Spirit-filled? Is the Spirit working in your life? In other words, quite simply, do you love and follow Jesus? Because that's the sign that the Spirit is alive and working in your life. Are you shining a light on his work? There's the final question. Is your life illuminating Jesus? It's like a spotlight. The Spirit is at work in you, and the Spirit's work is to illuminate the work of Jesus. Then is that happening in your life? If it's not, don't worry. Pray that it will. Pray for God's Spirit who is in you, if you follow and love him, to work in your life to do that. I suspect he is in many ways. But it might be good to sit down with a friend and say, "Do you think my life illuminates Jesus? How do you think my life illuminates Jesus? How can I do that more? How can I pray and have that happen more in my life?" If we don't do that, then all we have on the Holy Spirit is head knowledge. We must put it into action. We must understand what his work is in our life and that we are part of that. Let's pray.